life,
dignity,
security,
freedom,
respect,
justice,
equality,
equality,
remedy, and protection,
fairness,
fair trial,
criticism,
right,
work,
peace,
movement.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum,
identity,
family,
home,
conscience,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
leisure,
health,
education,
progress,
culture,
human rights,
Cartagena,
solidarity.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Zastel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We are building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and with me today is my co-host Gordon Barnes, and we're going to talk about various important events and issues in the human rights world. Good morning, Gord.
Good morning, Jim, and welcome to everybody who's tuning in today to Human Rights Radio, whether you're listening here in Regina over 91.3 FM or over the internet. We welcome everybody to the program, and we wanted to start just at the very beginning of the program by mentioning a really significant upcoming event, and that is that not long from now, on Wednesday, December 10th, here in Regina and around the world, there will be a way Amnesty members and supporters and friends mark International Human Rights Day, and that's by participating in the Global Write-a-thon that is supported by Amnesty International and organized by Amnesty International. Here in Regina, we'll be at the Artful Dodger from 5 till 10 o'clock in the evening, and we'll be writing letters on a number of appeals that the Canadian section is working on currently, and we're going to come back to some of that information a little later in the program, I think, Jim, but just wanted to write at the very beginning reference that as a significant upcoming event. If you've never had an opportunity to participate in Amnesty International before but might have been interested in finding out what we do and the various issues that we're working on currently, it's a great way to do so. For our friends in Saskatoon, there will be an event as well at St. Augustana Lutheran Church on Broadway, and it'll start at 7:30. And also they'll be sending appeal letters. And that's something that people, as I say, around the world will be participating in. The other thing, before we sort of turn to the major focus of our program. I just wanted to mention as well that to remind people that yesterday, Thursday, November 20th, was Transgender Day of Remembrance. It was a day to honor transgender people who have lost their lives, either because of hatred and fear, and to recommit ourselves to supporting the human rights of Canada's transgender communities. And there's a significant way that everybody can help in that, and that is by just taking a moment to express your support by for a bill that's before the Senate currently. It's before a Senate committee. It's called Bill C-279. And currently it's a proposal that would enshrine transgender rights. And we're hoping that it will get support, widespread support, but it does need the support of our community to get you know, the attention of the Senate. It's called an act to amend the Canadian Human Rights Act and the Criminal Code. And as I say, we really need to make every effort we can to express our support for it to members of the Senate, because that's where that piece of legislation sits currently.
I was just looking at the webpage for our own human rights tribunal, or I guess it's not a tribunal anymore, a commission,
right?
Here in Saskatchewan, and it is the rights of transgender people, or people who, you know, express their sexual preference or their gender preference,
yes,
and a different way, their rights are protected here in Saskatchewan.
Right. I know the transgender community are also promoting changes to the human rights legislation here in Saskatchewan, and they can speak to that very well.
Mm-hmm.
But
looking at the website, it looks like that they are protected. Is there a little discrepancy there, Gord?
There's some opportunities, I think, from the perspective of people in the transgender community to improve on it. I guess the other thing that we wanted to do today with this program is to take a moment and use this program, the bulk of it, to pay tribute to somebody who was a longtime Amnesty International activist here in Saskatchewan. She lived in Saskatoon. Sadly, she passed away last Friday. And the news was not great to hear, but, you know, Mary Pine just led a remarkable life and made a major contribution to Amnesty International's human rights work, but also through her career and her dedication, supported so much other human rights work around the world. I just wanted to just give a little bit of background. Mary was born on a farm near Bounty, Saskatchewan, and she enjoyed growing up on the prairies, watching the clouds in a big sky, and gazing at a wide horizon. Her early dreams were to sing at the Met and become a nurse and a pilot, and she achieved the two of her three goals. She became a nurse and also a pilot. She worked in Cold Lake, Alberta, went overseas to Angola, and was later posted to Zaire, Africa. On a return to Canada, Mary worked in health centers in northern Saskatchewan and Alberta and in the Northwest Territories. I should say that when she returned from having been in Angola, she actually had to deal with malaria. That was quite a few years ago now. Mary used her plane to fly into some very remote centers. and she was always involved in the peace movement in Saskatoon. She worked in Nicaragua with CUSO and was involved with several other organizations. Predictably, the Raging Grannies, as well as Amnesty International. She was active in the outreach committee of Grace Westminster United Church in Saskatoon. And she just was a wonderful individual. I can remember connecting with her over the years at lots of different events. At the Amnesty International Canada annual meetings that she was able to attend, there's always a human rights college organized by the youth and student program and always a open mic night. And Mary, in her 80s, would have been the star of the open mic night at the youth and student program. So, you know, we have really fond memories, and we wanted to share some of them today. Mary was also a remarkable poet, and we've got some of her poetry we're going to share. But I think, Jim, we're going to start by having you share some of the remarks that were made at her funeral service on Wednesday this week by her her niece, Lori, and they were really kind tribute to Mary.
Yeah, this is a wonderful account of Mary's life, and I'm really happy to be able to read it for us here today. So these are Lori Weidenhammer's words about her Aunt Mary. My Aunt Mary was a woman who had her head firmly in the clouds. She was a dreamer, but she also had very practical medical skills. One day I was about 10 years old and we were in a restaurant, and I heard a loud crash. Before I could register what was going on, Mary had jumped up and begun to administer first aid to a man experiencing an epileptic seizure. She helped him into an ambulance, and then we went back to calmly eating our lunch. It was so surreal, I could have filed it away in my memory as a dream, but it actually happened more than once. Before there was feminism, there was Mary. Mary showed my sister and I that a single woman could travel, go on adventures, learn different languages, and explore artistic expression. When I tell my friends Mary was a flying nurse, they're puzzled. What the heck is a flying nurse? Mary was a nurse who flew her own plane to access remote northern communities. My aunt was a community nurse in the full sense of the word. She created community as she improved people's access and use of health care, and I'm sure she helped save many lives. My Aunt Mary was a lefty, and I don't mean she was a southpaw. She was never shy about expressing her political beliefs. She was a natural-born raging granny. Mary didn't just talk politics, she lived her politics and put them into action. We need more lefties like her. Mary taught me the meaning of political integrity. Just 2 years ago, she visited us in Vancouver, where she was attending an Amnesty International conference. She was disappointed in the way the organization was going. People don't sit down and write the letters anymore, she said. Mary wrote letters to political prisoners. Hundreds, maybe thousands of inmates have been offered real comfort by her words. And she was a good writer. She wrote lyrical poetry that was infused with her love of the prairie ecosystem. Before liberation theology, there was Mary. Although the term grew out of work in Latin America in the 50s and 60s, the word wasn't coined until the 1970s, by which time Mary had already been practicing it for nearly two decades. Mary was never seduced by passive spirituality. She turned words and prayers into action. Words like self-care never entered her vocabulary. Mary practiced self-sacrifice without really meaning to. She would put the needs of the oppressed above her own needs, not out of a martyr complex, but because she just genuinely loved to do her work. She came back from Africa with malaria, which had lasting effects on her health. It was hard on our family because we didn't like to see her sacrifice her health, and my mom has spent years of her life nursing the heroic nurse. I remember meeting Mary after she got off the plane from Nicaragua in the early 90s. She was emaciated and shaking so much she could barely speak. She came back to Saskatoon to regenerate and then set off on her next adventure. Mary didn't just sacrifice her own health. She gave away any extra money she had to her favorite charities. This was also done to the point where she literally didn't have enough money to cover her own financial needs. She was the opposite of a compulsive gambler. She was a compulsive giver. She practiced this kind of self-sacrifice and lived to be 90 years old. My aunt fell in love at least once that we know of. She married Des Pine, and they had a sweet romance for a short time. Mary never lost her devotion to his daughters, the Pine sisters. She held a special place in her heart for those women and their families. Mary, my mother Joan, Florence, and Muriel taught me the true meaning of sisterhood. Most of all, Mary loved her sisters. They all used to go on trips together wearing matching hats. They would call each other the Weird Sisters and hoot with laughter. The Clark sisters had a strong bond. They were very lucky to love one another so deeply. Mary was sweet and kind, but when she played Scrabble, she played to win, and she usually did. Mom might have beaten her once or twice. My sister was one of the brave souls who dared to fly with Mary. As a pilot, her navigational skills were sometimes lacking, and she had a knack for getting lost. She sometimes had to swoop down low to see the town's name painted on an elevator. She had at least one unscheduled landing in a wheat field. Before there was formal acceptance of gays and lesbians in the United Church, there was Mary. She told me that an elderly friend was complaining about homosexuality in the United Church. If only she'd realize that the man she is so fond of that drives her to church every day, every week, is gay, Mary said, shaking her head. We may have been her immediate family, but Grace Westminster was certainly her extended family. No matter how much she traveled, she always returned to this lefty city and this lefty church. It was her true home. I want to thank everyone here who supported my aunt, and I want to offer my condolences to all of you because I know that she'll be missed by all of us and her friends across the globe, wherever they are. John O'Donohue said that our role for the dead and dying is to create a raft of words to send them on their journey. I searched for a more airborne metaphor for the occasion of Mary's death and came up with a song the day after she passed away. I spontaneously began singing the gospel hymn called I'll Fly Away. And they sang that special song at the service. That was from Lori Weidenhammer, Mary's niece from Vancouver, British Columbia. And we have some of Mary's poetry here.
Yeah, and, you know, Jim, I was thinking about the conversations you were able to have with her when you were trading stories about flying. Because not everybody who is listening to the program will know that you're also a pilot. And
one of my dreams was to try to get Mary into my plane, but that never happened, unfortunately. Yeah.
But I know she shared some great stories with you about flying in various places, and you've got some great memories of that as well. Mary was, as I say, active in Amnesty International for 40 years, which was really quite remarkable. In 2002, Mary became an Amnesty International field worker, a role that I've also got within our organization. As a field worker, she worked tirelessly to rally Amnesty members, and particularly youth and students, to get involved in our human rights campaigns. And she brought a message of human rights to all, to thousands of people in Saskatoon and throughout Saskatchewan. She really inspired a whole cadre of young activists with her song and poetry and enthusiasm and her great sense of humor. She was a driving force for our human rights here, and she was really admired by people throughout Canada who were involved with our organization. She was determined, and she gave so much of her time, and she gave so much of her heart. I'd like just to share one of the poems that she wrote. It's in a book published by the Saskatchewan Poetry Society. It's a collection of poetry, and it's called, the book itself is called When the Wind Speaks. And the title of this particular poem is called Song of a Little Bird. I heard a little bird singing in the snow, a little bird who didn't seem to know that peace had not yet come. I asked him if he had just come home. Did he fly over Darfur, and is the fighting over? No more mothers crying, no more babies dying. Perhaps he heard, but he sang on. Suddenly, fearful of my memories, he was gone in a flurry of feathers and small ending notes. I heard a little bird singing in the snow, a little bird who doesn't seem to know that peace has not yet come.
I guess Mary was kind of interested in the those that she was sharing the sky with. When you're flying, you're always aware of those critters. I've been closer than I'd care to be to some geese on a few occasions. And, of course, when you fly around Regina, if you take off out of the Regina airport, there is the odd time the controller will tell you, watch for geese off the north end of the runway, and you don't want to see them. But sometimes you do. And I've got another poem here that Mary wrote about a different bird. And the poem is entitled Companions in Flight, and it's from another Saskatchewan Poetry Society collection called Poetry for a New Day from 2006-2007. And the book's entitled Interlude. And the poem, Companions in Flight. I have been cleared to leave, to slip the surly bonds of earth and climb into a summer sky. Winds light and variable is the message from air control. It is a great day for flying. The molten gold of the wheat fields flows off my wingtip. I leave the prairie and find the forest, suddenly beside me sharing the sky and the joy of flight, eagles, an escort without parallel. As I reach my destination, a grass strip near a northern lake, my wing companions veer off, giving a graceful salute, and rise up to their eyrie while I descend, ever in search of mine.
You know, I've had the opportunity to hear Mary read her poetry several times, and it's just such a treat to, you know, have reflect on her life and her career. It was really just a remarkable contribution she made to our human rights work. I think she'd want us to, throughout this program, as we're reflecting on her contribution, you know, talk about current things as well. And mm-hmm. we just want to come back at this point in the program before the break to remind people, because Mary would want us to do this.
For sure.
To be sure to get out on December 10th at the local Right for Rights event in your community. Here in Regina, we'll be at the Artful Dodger anytime between 5 and 10 in the evening. You can drop in and write some letters. Friends in Saskatoon can go to St. Augustana Lutheran Church. They'll be starting at 7:30 in the evening. And there are events like this organized all across Canada. You can do this on your own, but you can even be more effective by joining with friends in your community. And all the events will be posted very soon on the Amnesty International Canada website. So, you know, before we go to the break, we wanted to remind people of the opportunity to continue on Mary's long tradition of human rights work, of letter writing, and join with other people in your community to support our work.
I'd just like to remind folks here in Regina as well that we are still doing our letter writing on Tuesday nights at Atlantis at 7 o'clock. Yeah. So if you would like to find out more about it, you can go there. But for sure, you should make every attempt to find your way to the Artful Dodger here in Regina on the 10th. And we'll have some videos. And, of course, if you've never written letters before, there will be people there who can tell you how to go about it. And it's not nearly as hard as what you might think.
That's right.
For sure. So, time for the break, Gord.
All right.
And we're going to come back with some Dylan
good
music.
Stuff.
And before I do that, I would just like to tell our listeners, and this has more to do with CJTR than it does with Amnesty, we now have a new app that
cool.
you can download.
Really?
And it is very cool. It's developed by Push Interactions. It features our online streaming video. Not video. We're not that. It's audio. It's online streaming audio 24 hours a day with links to our website, programming schedule, Facebook, and Twitter pages too. And, of course, the app is free and available in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. And you can also go to www.pushinteractions, that's all one word, .com/CJTR for a link to download the app for your device. And I have it. I was privileged to do some testing on it. And, you know, it's great. It's great because you just hit it and you've got CJTR, you know, running right now. And it's very, very handy. We have some other apps that you can listen to other radio stations, but you're always kind of fiddling around trying to find what you want. And with the CJTR app, you've got it right now. So there you go.
Good stuff.
See you on the other side of the break. And that's a Bob Dylan song called It's All Over Now, Baby Blue, and it's done by a group called Bad Religion. I guess that's what appealed to me. And this is off a CD. Actually, it's a four CD set that's really a wonderful thing. I think, can you still order it from
Amnesty
Gord? Yes, you can.
Amnesty They're Gord? Still available. Yeah.
And these are all Bob Dylan covers done by, there's four CDs here. These are all Bob Dylan covers done by various and all sorts of well-known artists. I see Diana Krall here, Johnny Cash, Carly Simon, all kinds of them. Some bands I've never heard of before. some are actually done by, there's one here that's actually sung by Bob Dylan. But a very great CD set that you can still get. It's a fundraiser for Amnesty.
Yeah, called Chimes of Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it is available still from Amnesty Canada. And a nice little gift if you want to look for something for a gift for a friend.
Right.
So we've been talking over the program in terms of the most of the time today about the amazing contribution that Mary Pine, a longtime Amnesty International activist who lived in Saskatoon, has made to our movement, to our human rights work. She passed away Friday, November 14th. I was able to attend the service for Mary on Wednesday this week and met with her family and friends in Saskatoon. And we wanted to share throughout the program some of her poetry. She was just a remarkable poet. And also her her inspiration in terms of her human rights work. We mentioned earlier that Mary was not only a pilot, but as we say, a poet and an incredible individual. When the news came out that she had passed away, people across Canada involved in our human rights work paid tribute to her. One of the first ones was Alex Neve. His comments were to the effect that Mary's passion for justice, belief in people, insatiable curiosity, and fabulous spirit of adventure were all so gloriously inspirational. We are all so lucky to have had her in our lives. Another one of the tributes that I'd like to share was from Sarah Beamish, who serves on the board for our international movement. She's actually originally from Saskatchewan. She lives in Toronto now and is going to law school there. Sarah indicated that in her recollection, Mary was a warm and dedicated presence in Amnesty Canada, welcoming to all. I can't remember an annual general meeting where we didn't share a smile or laugh together about something, and she'll be missed by her Amnesty family. And often when people were reflecting on their memories of Mary, they also talked about how they enjoyed at our annual meetings dancing with her. You know, she was one of those people who was the life of the party. And often I will recall I retired earlier than Mary did, and she really was a remarkable individual. Before the break, we shared some of her poetry, and I'd like to share one that I can give a little bit of context to afterwards. This is written by Mary, and again, this is from a collection of poetry published by the Saskatchewan Poetry Society. It's called When the Wind Speaks. Mary's poem is called Look Up. Whenever the sound of an engine is heard above the earth, she looks up. Is it a 150 like the one I used to fly? Is it WestJet with its logo bent on the wing? Is it a warplane shrieking through space? She looks up, and in that gaze there is longing to slip the surly bounds of earth, and to fly once more to where the eagles fly. Look down, leaving Calgary on the 2 a.m. flight home. Returning from an amnesty meeting, she sees the jeweled lights spread over the city, but she is not thinking, what a wonderful sight. That was in the past. Instead, she thinks of the dark places below the lights. A child molested, a woman battered, a man on drugs huddled in the street corner. It hurts her not to say, what a wonderful sight, but she has come with human rights conceived in her soul. Later at home, she lights a candle and writes a letter. It's by Mary Pine. And I think it's appropriate as we're going through the program, Jim, to, as I was saying earlier, to just because Mary would want us to do that, to share a little bit of information about some of the cases that we've been working on recently and will be focusing on December 10th on Human Rights Day. And there's I know you've got one handy there that if you wanted to share a little bit of the background on it, it'd be great.
Sure. This is a Uyghur activist who is also Canadian, and his name is Hussein Jalil. Hussein is a member of China's Uyghur minority and a human rights activist. In 2001, he fled China after being in jail for a time for supporting the religious and political rights of the Uyghur people. The United Nations recognized him as a refugee. Hussein arrived in Canada with his wife Camilla and their child in October of 2001. After they settled, two more boys were born, and Hussein became a Canadian citizen. In March of 2006, when Camilla was pregnant with their fourth child, the family traveled to Uzbekistan to visit her family. That's when things started going wrong. The police found out that Hussein was in Uzbekistan and asked the police there to arrest Hussein. They did, and then sent him to China. The Chinese authorities held Hussein in a secret place. They gave him no access to a lawyer, to his family, or to Canadian officials. They threatened him and forced him to sign a confession. They refused to recognize Hussein's status as a Canadian citizen, and they did not allow Canadian officials to attend his trial. It was not conducted fairly and resulted in a sentence of life in prison in China, where he remains today. Hussein has spent much of his time in solitary confinement. He lacks healthy food and is in poor health. His mother and sister, who live in China, are now allowed to see him occasionally. Camilla and her children don't know if they will ever see Hussein again. Camilla needs her husband, and the boys need their father back. And our action here then goes on to tell us how to write a letter, who to write it to, and with the addresses. I'd just like to add here, Gord, that when you're making donations to Amnesty, whether through a fundraiser or whatever, and there'll be opportunities to give on December 10th as well, a large part of the money that we raise goes simply to postage. Because the cost of an international stamp now is $2.50. So that's pretty significant and cuts into our budget pretty good. And of course sometimes you can use fax machines and you can use the internet to send emails, but nothing quite has the same impact as a handwritten letter that someone takes out of an envelope and it's in their hands. I really believe that is the most, it has such a strong impact, and it's the reason why we do have our success stories, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jim. And That particular case is one of several that people from Amnesty International Canada will be focusing on. You could actually find it on our website now and and do the letter in advance. But we'll be focusing on that at December 10th at our Right for Rights events, and encourage people to send an appeal. If Mary's not going to be able to be with us this year, but I know she'd want us to continue on the work that she undertook so well for so many years. Another case that's really important that is going to be highlighted this year for December 10th is a case of somebody who's currently in prison in Saudi Arabia. And he actually should right now be in Montreal with his wife and three children. Instead, he's spending Human Rights Day in a prison, as I say, in Saudi Arabia. His name is Raif Badawi, and he was arrested on June 17th, 2012. He was charged with insulting Islam and creating the Saudi Arabian Liberals website for social and political debate. And the charges related to some articles that Raif had wrote on his website. And unfortunately, he has bounced back and forth in terms of the courts until May 7th of this year. And on that date, the Saudi Arabia Criminal Court pronounced a sentence of 10 years in prison, 1,000 lashes, and a fine of the equivalent of $290,000 Canadian. After he serves a decade in jail, he is also forbidden to travel for the following decade and for participating in the media. It's just an incredibly harsh environment and terms of anybody who's a human rights activist in Saudi Arabia. And we need to join together and provide as much support to his case as we can. As I say, Mary would want us to do that. So I think you've got a little bit of other stuff to share there, Jim.
I have in my possession a book called Steps in the Rights Direction, 365 Human Rights Celebrations and Tragedies That Inspired Canada and the World. And so I was just glancing through to see what might have happened today, and it's kind of interesting. Canada's first openly gay MP, Sven Robertson, was re-elected in BC. And, of course, the significance of his being re-elected was that I don't think it was common knowledge that he was gay when he was first elected. And then that fact came out, and despite being openly gay, he was sufficiently regarded in his constituency that that he was re-elected to his second term in office in BC. So that's quite significant. And on November 22nd, it's funny how these dates escape you, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. Mm. And I'm sure we all knew where we were and what we were doing on that particular day at that particular time. I was writing a high school exam in my hometown. So this was in 1963, and the significant thing, or one of the significant things about his passing, at the time of his death, President Kennedy was trying to pass the Civil Rights Act, but it took a conservative Democrat, Lyndon Johnson, to stick-handle its passage through Congress. So and Johnson, who was in that Dallas procession but riding in a different car, was sworn in as president moments after Kennedy's death was confirmed. And after Kennedy's death, Johnson encouraged Congress to pass that Civil Rights Act as a monument to Kennedy. Great book.
Yeah, it is. It's it's just amazing reading to maybe just share again the title of that book, because it's worth people thinking about picking that one up.
Sure. It's called Steps in the Rights Direction, 365 human rights celebrations and tragedies that inspired Canada and the world. And it's written by Stephen Hammond, with a foreword by Alex Neave, who, as we all know, is the Secretary General of the English-speaking section of Amnesty International Canada.
Right.
So there's all sorts of interesting things here. You'll have to buy it and or ask Gord or myself, and we'll let you have a look at it. Right.
So there's another poem that is one of my favorites that Mary wrote, and I'd like to take a bit of time and share this towards the end of the program. It's called Night Flight. Night Flight, I'm leaving for the stars. Night Flight, I'm flying to the stars. I'm leaving this old world with all our cares to seek for peace among the stars. I am an old pilot, having spent many years on Earth. The members of my crew today are very young. Some are 20, nearly 30 years of age. They left this sad world suddenly, still dressed in battle-scarred tunics. There was never weariness in their faces that marked their last moment on Earth. Now they have been given summer fatigues, light and airy, complete with wings. Are these wings fast? They asked the Lord. You can go swiftly, even beyond Mars or Jupiter, even beyond the stars. Heaven opened before them in an everlasting display of the summer before war. That's just a portion of that particular poem, and it is, as I say, one of my favorites. And I think you might have another one to share, Jim.
Yeah, this is a Night Flight over the Prairie.
Oh, okay.
And again, it sort of brings back some memories for me. Although I haven't flown at night, I have flown into Saskatoon, and this is what she's doing. She's flying into Saskatoon, but at night. Night's dark tide rolls in, washes away the sunset. It's interesting, Gord. I'll just stop here. And when you're flying at night and sunset is coming, I'm not a night-rated pilot, so I'm watching this.
Okay.
and you're limited if you don't have your night rating, which I don't. So you can watch night come in, and if you don't have your night rating, then you want to get on the ground. Night's dark tide rolls in, washes away the sunset. Gold fades from the wheat fields. Dark and solemn is the prairie as I climb from the jewel-studded rectangle of city runway to fly through prairie skies. My only night music is the motor's pulsing rhythm. My only light, a red glow from the panel. Suddenly, earth stars signal from friendly farmsteads. Sky stars answer, tricksters, filling friendly sloughs with other stars. I'm caught between stars. Are they earth stars or sky stars? I watch the panel. I must not be led astray. At least no mountains loom on the horizon of my skyway. Save for the proud small silhouette of Blackstrap, pushing its crest above the shimmering lake. One by one, the little towns light up their lamps, passing me lovingly from one town to the next. Now I see a great pile of multicolored stars floating on a black velvet island. Can I trust these stars? A comforting voice reaches me from the invisible cabin of air control. Victor India Charlie, cleared downwind. I'm reluctant to descend, wanting to stay in the midst of stars, earth stars, sky stars, water stars, stars of a prairie night, friends on a prairie flight.
Thanks, Jim. And for people who are maybe just tuning into the program, we've been sharing our remembrance and of Mary Pine and paying tribute to her. She passed away on Friday, November 14th, and we've also been sharing her amazing poetry. She was an incredible human rights activist, and I think she'd want us to maybe towards the end of the program share one other of the cases that we're going to be writing on December 10th on International Human Rights Day. And it's a case that I'm sure Mary wrote many letters about, and that is the events in Bhopal on December 3rd in 1984, when toxic gas began leaking from a pesticide factory in Bhopal, and within 3 days as many as 10,000 people had died. Since then, over 30 years ago, a number have 12,000 have died, and long-term other health effects have been a problem for everybody in that community. And, you know, the compensation package that was agreed to between the government of India and the company, which is Union Carbide Corporation, that owned the pesticide plant, was totally inadequate. We are going to be writing again 30 years later, calling for a appropriate compensation to the people of Bhopal. And it's only appropriate that, as Mary would have done, that we continue that tradition on December 10th at our Right for Rights events. So with that, I think we're pretty close to the end of the program.
I think we are. We'll be remembering for Mary for a long time to come, for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, founder of Amnesty International, said, "Only when the last prisoner of conscience has been freed, the last torture chamber has been closed, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a reality for the world's people, will our work be done."